How many of you remember your resurrection? Let me say it again. How many of you remember your resurrection? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Don't turn there. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Amen. I had a spiritual resurrection on the day of my salvation. And one day I will have a physical resurrection when I depart this body and leave this sin. Somebody ought to call this old sin sick world. Amen. I'm glad when he got saved, he delivered me from the penalty of my sin. What was the penalty? Hell and damnation forever and ever and ever. When he saved me, he delivered me from the penalty of my sin. He not only did that, but he delivered me from the power of sin, that it might not have dominion over me. But I'm glad, Brother Robert, one of these sweet days, he's going to deliver me from the very presence of sin. We sang that song, "What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see." It's going to be something, ain't it? We talk about how it's going to be so good, no more sickness, suffering, pain, and all that good stuff. What about just no more sin? Can you imagine a sinless world? Eve earned that for all of us. I can get many amens.
Women always causing trouble. Ain't? I'm kidding. Luke chapter number 24, if you're there, say amen.
I'm excited tonight. Amen. I am. I'm excited about what the Lord has done. I'm excited about what he's doing. I'm excited about what he's about to do.
But Jack said in the prayer room, he said, "You know, you look around and see everything that's going on in people's life, makes me wonder what's coming."
Amen. Makes me wonder too. I'm excited about it. I ain't going to try to make something happen.
I'm sure going to be trusting the Lord, and I'm ready for it whenever he is. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 24. And not really what you'd call an Easter message tonight, but it is from the resurrection story. In Luke chapter number 24, it starts out. We're not going to read the first verses, but it starts out. We read it this morning upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. They came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices, blah, 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 on and on. And early in chapter number 24, they learned that Jesus has risen from the grave. Man, what a great day. What a miraculous day. I remember when he told Mary, he said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." You know, she knew him as soon as he said her name. He said, "Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended." Y'all remember that? One day, when you find out that Jesus is alive. And you know, there's still people every day, every week, every month, every year, finding out that he is still alive. Serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's a living, whatever men may say. Thank God. What a miraculous day. But this thing goes on, and we get down to verse number 2, and we find the story about these Emmaus travelers. These disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, they are walking away from all the events that has went on, and they're talking among themselves. I imagine they had a lot to talk about. I imagine their minds were blown, wouldn't you? But as they walk, you know, Levi sings that song, "It Was Me." As they walk, somebody joins up with them. That's funny, you get to talking about him, he just shows up.
Amen.
You say about where two or three are getting? Verse number 13, the Bible said, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. The Bible said that they talked together of all these things which had happened." What are they talking about? They're talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they're discussing as they're traveling down the road. The Bible said in verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, I like these next two words, say them with me. Jesus himself, not a messenger, not an angel, but Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? What are y'all talking about? He said that you have one unto the other as you talk and are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And this is their mindset. What do you mean? What am I talking about? Where have you been? Are you from Mars? In other words, if you're from around here, you know what's going on. This is the talk of the town. This is the headline on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Wall Street Journal. And this is it. This is what everybody's. What do you mean, what are we talking about? This is the news of the town. They said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, I love this. He knows exactly what they're talking about. He knows exactly what happened. What's he say? What thing? That just tickles me anyway. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priest and our ruler delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You've got to understand what these disciples were expecting. It was not a crucifixion. He tried to tell them that. The prophets foretold it. He told them the Son of Man must suffer. But they didn't get it. They were waiting on him to rule and reign. To be Israel's king. That's what they were waiting on. Where did I stop reading? Yes. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I tried to tell you, the men of old tried to tell you, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? They still don't know who he is. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things, I like this, concerning himself. Jesus shows up and what does he preach? Jesus. Only he could do that. Amen. The Bible said they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And that's funny, in that he was the guest. He was the one that should have been being served, but yet we find him serving. We find him, it would have been customary for one of those disciples, it would have been customary for Cleopas to take in the bread and blessed it and gave it to him. But Jesus picks up the bread, blesses it, and gives it to them. I'm not going to get stuck right there, but they sunk to it. And the Bible said, in their eyes were open. And they knew. And he vanished out of their sight. I believe he was revealed to them as he prayed. As he blessed that meal, I believe their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scripture. And the Bible said they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself, there's that phrase again, stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you.
Amen.
Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to try to preach this thought. When Jesus draws nigh. When Jesus draws nigh. We know that the Bible says to draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Then isn't it something when the Lord can, I mean, you've been saved long enough to know when his presence is there.
Amen.
I know, don't get me wrong, I know he lives in me and he's in me 24/7, 365 days a year. He's been in me since the day I trusted him. But sometimes he gives us a tangible manifestation where we can just literally feel his presence.
Amen.
It's a special day and a special time when Jesus draws nigh. Now, since his resurrection, after he rose from the dead, he immediately began ministering to others. Isn't that amazing? He immediately began ministering or helping those who were hurting. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, who was hurting because of the loss of her master. He appeared to Peter, who was hurting because he had denied the Lord 3 times. He went so far with Peter as to preach a little sermon to him. A little 3-point outline. All the points were the same. Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? I do not believe he was talking about the other disciple. I believe he was talking about the multitude of fish that was laid on the ground. That translated to money for Simon Peter. He cared enough about Peter. Remember what he said? Go tell my disciples and Peter. He showed up for Peter. You know Peter's hurting. You know that's bothering him. He's under conviction about that thing of denying the Lord. So the Lord just shows up and helps him out. He appeared to 10 of his disciples who were hurting because they ran when Jesus was arrested. Don't you know they regretted that? So he shows up to them. You know what? Not one time, Brother Charles, does it beat him over the head.
Amen.
I would. You know what I said? I said, I thought you suckers had my back. They showed up to arrest me. I turned around and I was gone. He didn't say a word to them. You know what he did? He just showed up and ministered to them. He showed up and doctored on their hearts a little bit. He showed up and convinced them of what had been done and what he was. It took some convincing. He showed up for Thomas. I believe he made an extra visit just for Thomas. I believe he heard Thomas when he said, I won't believe it till I thrust my hand in his side. So you know what Jesus does? Jesus shows up again just for Thomas and says, here, son. Help yourself. Touch me and feel me, he said. Isn't that something? It's amazing when Jesus draws nigh. He appeared to as many as 500 disciples at one time. Many of these would have been hurting for some reason or the other. Any parent that's worth being a parent, when your child is hurting, you know what you do? You go to them.
Yes.
Can I get a witness right there?
Yes.
Mamas have something instilled that they got radar.
Yeah.
Grandbabies come to the house. I shotgun so much growing up. I don't think I'm here too good, but my wife would be sitting in the living room. She'll say, Caroline's crying. My mom. I don't hear nothing. Them babies start crying. We go to them. They stumble and they fall. We run to them and we pick them up. Why? Because we love them and they're our children. This is me. When we're hurting as God's children, when we stumble and fall, and when we cry out unto God, hey, when we draw them out of Him, He runs to them.
Amen.
Aren't you glad we got a Jesus that'll draw now? He'll come sit down in the pew with you. When you didn't even feel like coming to church, He'll come sit down right where you are and squeeze on your heart when you felt like you was cold and hard and backslid. He'll jump in the car with you on the way to work on the Monday morning and bless your soul. Hallelujah. He'll crawl up in the bed with you in the midnight hour when your heart's palpitating and you're having anxiety. Thank God He draws it to you. These children are hurting.
Amen.
I don't even have to tell Him I'm hurting. And He shows up. I don't know how many times I've come in as a pastor. We have to put on a good front. People wouldn't stay around here very long if sometimes I showed my real emotion.
Amen.
Sometimes I come to church, the time I get to this spot, I'm mad.
Yeah.
Oh, preacher, you're not supposed to get mad. The Bible said be angry and sin not. Sometimes I come in discouraged. Disappointed.
Yeah.
Down. Sometimes I come in and the last thing I feel like doing is preaching.
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I come in one Sunday morning. It's just one of the highlights of my life I'll never forget. I'm talking about I was at a low spot. Nobody knew it. I don't even know if my wife knew the details of it. But I was down and I was discouraged. I was disgusted with me.
Come on.
There was some things going on. I was fretting and I didn't know what to do. And I sat down in that chair. And for the first time that Sunday morning, Brother Todd and Ashley, and I believe Viva sings it with them, they sang that song, "Why Should I Worry? Why Should I Fear? When this very same Jesus is always near." My business picked up. I didn't feel like church when I got here. Singing, I got churchy all of a sudden. Started clapping my hand and praising the Lord Jesus. Why? He drew near. You might have got something out of it, but I believe He's sitting down in this chair right here.
Yeah.
He might have said something like this: "I know you didn't feel like coming, and I'm glad you came."
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad when He draws back?
Yeah.
And He gets close. I'm talking about when He gets close and you get them bumps up and down your arm.
Yeah.
You may have never done this. I can remember driving an old plumbing truck headed to work in Marietta, Georgia. And the Lord hit the truck with me. And it gets surreal. I forget where I was. Get to work minutes late because I took the wrong, I didn't turn where I was supposed to, wind just kept going. Get to work and the boss say, "Why are you late?" Well, it's Jesus' fault. I was driving down the road, He just got the truck. Are you listening? I told my boss that one time, who was a Christian, Brother P.D. Hendricks. He said, "You okay?" I said, "Squall so much all the way to work, my eyes were swollen up." He said, "Why are you late? Are you all right?" I said, "You ain't going to believe it." I said, "I didn't tell you." He said, "Well, you don't tell me. I was 30 minutes late." I said, "Well, I got to coming down Marietta Highway and the Lord got in the truck." He said, "Oh, never mind. I've had that happen 1,000 times. Thank God we got a Savior who took time out of His day and out of His schedule and out of Him keeping the universe in working order, the sun coming up, the sun going down, the grass is growing, the flowers blooming, the rain is falling, the sun is shining. Hey, I'm telling you, he takes time to come and draw near me. I know what I am, but that is a nothing and a nobody. I'm a zero with a bomb knocked out of the sun. I'm telling you, I don't deserve his presence ever. But he draws now over and over and over and over. You ever got in a place where you wondered where he was?
Yeah.
Or where he was at? Then all of a sudden, ain't no doubt when he shows up.
Amen.
Even today, just like with these disciples walking down the road, Jesus knows where we are.
Amen.
And he knows exactly what's going on.
Right.
Sometimes he'll want us to verbalize it. Did I say that right? He'll want us to say it.
Yeah.
He walked up to these and said, hey, what are y'all talking about?
Man.
They said, dude, where are you from?
Yeah.
You ain't heard what's going on. You must be a visitor from out of town.
Amen.
And they began to tell him everything they told him. Of all the things that happened. And then Jesus looked at them and said, what thing?
Yeah.
Go ahead, get off your heart. Tell me about it.
Yeah, amen.
Sometimes it's good. Somebody said, I don't have to confess my sins. And some of these jacklegs are preaching on the internet. I don't have to confess my sins because Jesus already knows and he's already took care of it. God needs you to verbalize that thing.
Amen.
God needs you to get it out.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. With a heart, man believeth. With a mouth, confession is made. Is that right? That don't just work at salvation. That works in sanctification day in, day out, day in, day out. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Jesus said, what things tell me about?
Amen.
I got just a couple little thoughts tonight, and we'll go to the house.
Preach.
Watch with. I want you to notice that Jesus draws now during the time of confusion.
Right.
He said again, Jesus draws now. You know what that word now means, don't you?
Yes.
Close.
Yes.
I'm talking about up close in your face.
Amen.
In your personal space.
Yes.
Close.
Yeah.
He draws now during the time of confusion. Jesus drew near these disciples during a very confusing time of their life. Think about it. They hung everything on him.
Yeah.
Who hung on the cross.
Yeah.
Now listen, they were probably the week before, Brother Frederick, they were in Jerusalem when he made that triumphal entry.
Yes,
they saw the celebration. Wow, this is it. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. I told you it's him. Then he's arrested. They were probably there in the crowd when he went before Pilate and they put him on trial. They were probably there when they beat him and mocked him. They were probably in the crowd when they hung him on the cross. They were probably there when Jesus said, into thine hand I commend my spirit, bowed his head and gave up his blood. What? This is not what we signed up for. Now all of a sudden they're enemies because they followed him. It's a confusing time. Do you ever get in those places like maybe Miss April is right now, and she wouldn't say it out loud. I know her heart, and you wonder, God, what are you doing?
Yes.
I'm trying to serve you with my life since I got saved. I've done nothing but every spare moment I've had. We've spent it with your children, taking these kids to sing. And oh no, God, I'm confused. Glad we're confused and we don't understand what he's doing. And by the way, he don't always have to give us an explanation.
That's right.
Is that okay to say? He doesn't know what that Brother Todd sang it a while ago. Father, you don't owe me one thing. You don't owe me an explanation. I'm glad even in these times when we're confused, the Lord can draw nigh unto us. It's during those times of confusion that Jesus will draw nigh and help us.
Amen.
So you got to be careful. You got to kind of want him.
That's right.
He ain't going to force himself.
That's right.
We kind of got to want him to draw nigh. By the way, if you want him to show up, he will.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes we're hurting because of sickness, death, marital problems, family problems, financial difficulties, job difficulties, school difficulties. I mean, man, there's so much in this life that causes us hurt and causes us pain. And I'm glad in every situation Jesus understands them all. And he'll show up in times of confusion.
Amen.
Times of uncertainty. Times when we don't know if we're going to make it. He'll draw near. And you know what he'll do? He'll walk with us.
Amen.
By the way, he won't just walk with us. He'll go in the house with us.
That's right.
Maybe we ain't constraining him enough. Maybe we want to get past leaving him here and take him to the house. Amen. He shows up during times of confusion. He draws near in confusion, but watch this. He draws near with concern. He draws near with concern. Have you ever, and you don't have to admit this out loud if you don't want to, but I'm guilty. Have you ever prayed and made this statement or something akin to it? Lord, do you even care?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Lord, do you even care?
Yes.
What's going on, God? Do you even understand what I'm going through? He's more concerned than you ever know.
That's right.
You know what he said? Brother Charles, he pulled up alongside them boys. You know what he asked them? He wanted to know why they're so sad. What y'all boys sad about? What are y'all sad about? Now, if they believed what they'd heard, they wouldn't have had a sad countenance.
Right.
They would have been jubilation and joy and praising. They wouldn't have had their heads hanging low, Brother Charles. Had they believed it, had they just believed what he said.
Amen.
He told them he would rise.
Amen.
He told them he had to suffer.
Yeah.
But then the angel comes to the ladies and tells them, and they go tell the disciples that he's risen. They have that news.
Yeah.
Not the faith to believe it. So Jesus is concerned even about their lack of faith, Brother Jesse. So you know what he does? He says, let me walk with you a little while. Tell me what your problem is. Tell me what thing is. What is it? Tell me all about it.
Yeah.
So you know what he did? He cared enough for him just to walk with him and to preach with him. He started in the prophets. He preached to him everything concerning himself.
Yes,
Lord. First Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Amen.
We don't always have to know why. That's always my question. Lord, why? Why this? Why that? Why Ashley? Why Abel? Why? Why? Why Eli Butler? Why? Why? Why Chris Butler? I ask those questions. I do. Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. But even when we don't understand and we don't know what's going on, Brother Charles, he cares.
Amen.
And he cares enough to come to where we are.
Amen.
And comfort us.
Thank you.
He draws near in confusion when you don't have a clue which way's up, which way to turn, where to go next.
Yeah.
By the way, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing.
Amen. Amen.
When you don't know what to do, you be still and you wait on God.
Amen.
Some of the worst mistakes you'll ever make in your life is those decisions you make when you don't know what to do.
Right.
Amen.
Like trying to borrow yourself out of debt.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get but one amen right there.
That's right.
That's probably because everybody in this building knows it don't work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
You get in those places, man, we ain't got a clue, man. You don't know what to do. I've done some of the dumbest things in my life.
Amen.
When I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But you know what? In these 30 some odd years, I've learned, if I'll just sit still, lean on Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, trust the Lord with all my heart. Say, okay, God, it's in your hands. People ask me all the time, preacher, what are we going to do? Brother Freddie asked me. We've got drawings for a building right outside them windows right there. Connected with this. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Is that what we're going to do? I don't know. I ain't losing sleep over it. I ain't going to have anxiety over it. God saw how full this building was this morning. He knows how full it was last Sunday. We ain't just crowded on Easter Sunday. We crowded every Sunday.
Amen.
He knows we're out of Sunday school space. He knows we're out of parking. He knows that. So I've just got to continue. Lord, I'm waiting out. I'll pull the trigger when you say go. But I ain't getting ahead of it. I ain't doing that. I ain't going to play the fool, God. When you're ready, I'm ready. When we don't know what to do, he'll draw near in confusion, but he'll draw near or nigh with concern. And probably more like this. He draws near in confusion. He draws near with concern. But he draws near with correction. How many of us like to be corrected? Some of us can't be.
That's right.
I've had people look me dead in the eyeball in my office and say, I don't care what happens, I'll never say I'm sorry. That's a bad character, y'all. I've had to deal with it in my own heart. Me and you look up in here real good. If that's your attitude, your marriage will never make it. I'm not saying you ought to be a hen pecked, led by the nose, that kind of thing. But buddy, you better learn to say I'm sorry. You ought to be able to say I'm sorry to your spouse. You ought to be able to say I'm sorry. You ought to apologize to your children. We're acting like a fool in town.
Amen.
Correction. Notice what he does. Jesus listens to all their concern. You know what he does? He hears it. But then he corrects it. This was a good correction. What did he do? He said, tell me about it. What things? And they begin to tell him. You know what he did? He just preached to him. He preached to him about who he was. I imagine he went back there and quoted some out of Isaiah. I imagine he did. I imagine he went through that whole thing about his death, burial, and resurrection and why he came to begin with.
Yeah.
Then he goes in the house with them. You know what they said? As soon as they figured out it was him, they said, man, didn't our hearts burn?
Yeah.
Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us in the way?
Yeah.
Their heart didn't burn after they realized who he was. Their heart burned while they didn't know who he was. And he was a stranger, had not revealed himself to them. And he preached to them Jesus. Their heart burned with it.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you need preaching.
Yeah.
Amen. This book ought to make our hearts burn within us.
Yes.
Amen. He corrects them. He shows them what has really went on. He taught them all about himself so they could better understand the events that had taken place. Listen, as we pray and study our Bibles, especially during times of trouble, Jesus will correct us.
Amen.
Have you ever read your Bible, especially when you're discouraged or down, and boom, I mean, it's just all, it don't literally jump off the page, and it's not a fickle finger of faith, but you're just faithfully reading your Bible like a child of God ought to do. And whoa, that's just what I need. And the Lord corrects you. You say, he corrects me when I sin? Yeah, he does that, but that ain't what I'm talking about. Corrects me when I do my brother wrong, my brethren wrong. Yeah, he corrects you for that. That ain't what I'm talking about. He corrects you for not trusting.
Yes.
He corrects you for not putting your faith in him like you ought to. We trusted him with our soul, we ought to be able to trust him with our life.
Amen.
He draws near in confusion. He draws near with concern. I'm almost done. He draws near with correction. Would you allow the Lord to correct you tonight?
Amen.
Would you allow it?
Yes.
Would you give him veto power in your life?
Yeah.
You make a decision and the Lord say no, you say okay.
Amen.
I've seen people go against God. Watch people get married they ought not have. I told them no. The Lord told them no. And they do it anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. I've seen people make job decisions when the Lord said no, when I said no, and they did it anyway.
Amen.
I'm not the Lord, don't get me wrong. But you come and ask for my advice, I'll give it. But a lot of times people come and ask for my advice and they've already made their mind up before they ask. Are we okay tonight? I love you, man. I'm not fussing. I'm just saying, can we be corrected?
Amen.
Are we okay with the Lord coming in the message and hearing the service and saying, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you.
Yes. Right.
Let the Lord single you out. I wouldn't do that publicly and just make a embarrassment out of somebody. I wouldn't do that, but the Lord will.
Yeah.
And nobody else knows when he does it, but he does it. Amen. I'm glad the Lord can correct us. I'm glad he loves us enough to keep us kind of straight. Amen. He draws near in confusion. He draws near in concern. He draws near with correction. Lastly, and I'm done. He draws near in comfort. Jesus don't just show up. You say, how do you get comfort out of correction? You get corrected, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You get your relationship where it should be with him, you automatically don't feel better.
That's right.
Can you imagine the day these guys had? They're walking home, their heads bowed low. Man, what has gone on?
Yeah.
What in the world? Man, we had all our faith and all our hope in this thing. And, man, I don't know what to think. What do you think? And they're just going back and forth. And the Lord shows up and says, here's the way it is. They went to the house and they said, let us fix you something to eat. He said, no, let me give you something.
Yeah.
Lord picked up that bread and broke it and blessed it. And their eyes were woo! Man! Did their hearts burn while he talked?
Yeah.
What happened? Comfort.
Amen.
Comfort. They left Jerusalem headed home in doubt. Would you agree?
Yeah.
They left discouraged. They left disappointed.
Yes.
I think they would have liked to have seen him take a sword and chop old Pilate's head off.
Yeah.
And say there's a new sheriff in town. That's kind of what they were expecting. And then they're disappointed. Sometimes even in our Christian life, we'll find ourselves disappointed in him. Lord, what are you thinking? What are you doing? This ain't God. You say, preacher, I wouldn't pray like that. You shouldn't. And I shouldn't either. But I don't care who you are, you have them thoughts.
That's right.
The Lord shows up. What's he do? He don't owe us an explanation, Brother Charles. Did he explain himself?
Amen.
Have you ever found yourself in a place in your life where you're confused?
Yes.
Where your heart was broke, you didn't know what to do. You was hurting, you was discouraged.
Yes.
And the Lord showed up, put his arm around you.
Yes.
And say, it's okay. Here's what I'm doing.
Amen.
Let me show you. Let me show you why we're here.
Let
me show you why we're in this place in our life right now. Sometimes it's even after it's over. The Lord says, now I want you to get back. See where you're feeling. I was singing that song, I've been through enough
Amen.
To know that he'll be enough.
Amen.
for me.
Amen.
I've come through too many times. So have I, so have you, over and over and over. I'm glad he's the God, Brother Charles, of all comfort.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Even his correction sometimes is comfort. Because it gets us where we need to. Gets us on the same page that he's on.
That's right.
You know what they did, Brother Jesse? If you'll read right on down the page, they went right back where they came from. As soon as he disappeared, he didn't leave. He just poof, he gone.
Yeah.
And bang, the Bible says. That'd be cool right there.
Yeah.
He banished from their sight. They went right back to town. Y'all ain't gonna believe this.
Yeah.
Them women was right.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
Yeah.
We just see we ain't suffering with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you know what happened? Just as quick as he vanished, he appeared again.
Yeah.
There he was, right smack down in the middle of it. You know what they got out of that? Come. What happens when the Lord shows up in that tangible way and he walks with us and talks with us? He gets in the car and rides to work with us. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When he just gets real to you, you know what he's doing? He's letting you know. I told you I'd never leave you.
Amen.
I told you I'd never forsake you.
Amen.
I told you I'd always be right here.
Amen.
You listen? You know what he's doing? He's comforting our hearts.
Amen.
Reassuring in our hearts what we already know in our mind. We believe that Bible. We do. But human instinct says doubt. Human instinct says give up. Human instinct says confusion. But then he draws back. And even though the problem didn't go away, boy, things sure did clear up.
That's right.
All of a sudden, you can't understand it really, but all of a sudden there's peace now where there was confusion.
Yes.
There's comfort where there was sorrow. I don't know how it's going to work out, but somehow I know it's going to be okay.
That's right.
What happened? The Lord came, comforted your heart.
Yeah.
Brought peace. Amen. When Jesus draws nigh. How long has it been since he drew nigh for you? How long has it been since you had one of them car ride moments? A few Sundays back, I don't know. I told Brother Todd about it. Maybe been a couple of months back on Sunday morning. I was preaching on the Father's love, and I pulled up I just did it on YouTube in my truck coming to church, and I heard the Isaacs singing "How Deep the Father's Love." Oh my, a cappella. I got so tore up, I couldn't drive down the road, I couldn't see. And what the Lord did, he drew
nigh.
When's the last time you had one of those moments where you felt like he just touched you? There's an old song that says, "Touch me again, Lord."
Yeah.
I need your power.
Yeah.
Touch me again. We get saved one time, but he can touch our hearts.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over. I'll be honest with you, I'm spoiled rotten, Brother Spike. I can't go very long without touch.
Amen.
I don't base what I have on the feeling, but I need to feel something.
Amen.
I didn't come to church and know he's been there.
Amen.
I wonder if somebody's not getting all of them tonight and say, "Lord, you draw them out of me." You're doing your part by coming to the altar. You got to draw them out of me. Get on your face before God and say, "God, would you come where I'm at?" When I could not come from where he was.
Yeah.
The old song said he came.
Yeah.
Let's stand our feet. Yeah. Let's talk to him. Come. Yeah. Jesus draws nigh. Times of confusion. He comes with concern. He comes with compassion. He doesn't just come and beat you over the head. Even when you're wrong, he might just show up and love you.